wasted effort. It's like God releases the grace and be frustrated. And that's why I've been seeing that apart from the things we do, we need to put a lot of things in action. Most of our action has been in the four walls. And I spoke to the leaders in the church right from last year about what God is telling me up till now. The things we do in these four walls is called for service. But there is something called the call. The call and the election is to touch somebody. Because the purpose of every warfare we see is that human being will lose. The devil is looking for human beings. God is looking for human beings. It's a battle over man's soul. Are you understanding me? If I was your enemy and you have more power than me, if I can get you concentrating on any other thing, I will do it. From the main thing. Are you understanding me? And if I'm God, I will be concentrated on the main thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. His love was so strong for me and you that even when we're criticizing those who were preaching to us, God was folding his hands and saying, I know you'll be saved. I won't give up on you. I'll keep sending my servants. Some people he sent to us, they didn't come to us. Some people he sent to us, they struggled to come, but God still used them. Amen. When I was in Nigeria before I got saved, a woman preached on the bus. And when she preached that preaching, I've never seen people preach like that. She got on the bus and she preached. She said in Nigeria, she catched a bus called Molwe. And she was preaching. After she preached for a long time, she said, let everybody who want to give their life put up their hand. Nobody put your hand. She just got angry. She abused everybody that bus. She said, do you think I came here to waste my time? Said, with everything I've said, all your minds are hard. She said it in Yoruba language. Said, these are hard, mad people. Said, and God will judge. She said it to the point that the driver had to stop and say, is it by force that we should receive this Jesus? She said, how can I speak all this? And not even one person. You know, years after when I received my life, I received you and I got born again. Every time I got born, I'll keep reminding that woman. I'll keep remembering her. I can still remember the vision. I wonder, I said, Lord, why do I keep remembering you? God said, a seed was sown in your heart. I said, with the misbehavior she misbehaved, and the Holy Spirit told me that she was a babe when she did it. But that I still use her, and I don't know, I believe it was God. I heard in prayer that God said, all of you on that bus today are in my kingdom because of that preaching. Said she might be angry then, but she already had fruit, and those fruit are waiting. And look at what I am doing today. Does she know wherever she is now? She doesn't know me. I don't know her. I've not seen her since then. But God keep in mind, I'm still telling you today. God said, wasn't this man that you preached to, you got born again, that's missing? Said that woman. Said because she was a babe, she was innocent, she did it out of an ignorance. The seed was pure. And he said, all of you on that bus are born again today. Amen. But she planted the seed. Hallelujah. But what happened to her? She got angry. She left the bus. Amen. What am I trying to say? Nobody knows what God will do. Bible says, don't not give up in sowing your seed. A little, you do not know which one. And in this country, every fellowship and church that exists, especially people that God has brought from abroad here, our mission is to bring back the gospel to this land. Hallelujah. I've never seen anybody, even including me, that goes out for soul winning without a cost. It always costs you your comfort. It costs you everything. It costs you fear. You have to overcome fear. Lack of comfort. It's the same for everybody. Even from the apostles, all of them, they went to God and said, Lord, look at their threat. They have threatened us. Please give us boldness to go out. And God answered them. Are we understanding me? What I'm saying, look, there is a mandate. Apart from the expansion and 200 members, there's a mandate for soul winning. Amen. And God said, a lot of people have been praying, but no, people who, any person or child that will have the boldness to go out there and do the act will see a lot of fruit. And I'm saying, if God doesn't find somebody, Lord, here I am. Amen. We'll go forth and we'll see the fruit. And we want to press into evangelism. We want to press into it. I don't want people to come from other churches and join this place. Thank God for that. But the real increase of the kingdom of God is when a sinner comes and they are born again into the kingdom. That is the true increase of the kingdom of God. Amen. And everything we do, if it's not soul winning, if it is not an intercession, and something soul winning of somehow touching somebody out there, we are just touching the surface of everything. Amen. God Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. And so, I want to encourage, I want to give opportunity for people to fulfill destiny. And I've seen that people fulfill destiny is to touch, no matter feeding the poor. What, talk to me about anything somebody does with destiny is to touch with human beings' life. Never ever, it always ends up in human being. And that is what call is all about. I'm saying call. Say my call. You're going to answer for it. Do you know if I call you, Pastor Daddy, you have to respond. You have to respond. You can choose not to. But God said, but many are called. Few are chosen. Because only few will answer. Some answer when they are coming in the way, they just say no. Amen. So the election and call, we must be diligent to making sure. Diligence means you have to put effort. Diligence has to be in it. Praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you. Next Saturday, 3:30, we want to do something people have not done. We want to believe God. We are going to the city center with a banner. We're advertising. We're giving leaflets. And we want to believe God and say, Lord, if you need healing, come to this stand. There is healing taking place here. Jesus heal. Jesus loves you. I want to leave everything to God. Not just speaking, but believing God to touch people's life, to heal. Hallelujah. I've seen it. I gave us one testimony in Piccadilly. The money people, they challenge us, and we saw the power of God. God didn't. Pastor Ben was here that day. Remember when they came? He was testified to me and him. When satanic people challenged us in Piccadilly, I was standing, I was preaching, and they said, you come down. We are Satan people. Look at this problem. If Jesus is real, deliver this boy. Hallelujah. And the crowd, everybody surround us. Pastor Ben was itching me and said, hey, yeah, this is serious one. Hallelujah. And I said, this is the kind of thing God loves. Me too, I did not know if God would do it. But I said, in Jesus' name, and God came through. Amen. I can still remember when God came, Pastor Ben jumped up. Hey! And he went to the bureau. So you see now. You see now. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we first got to Manchester. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God will do it. Amen. You know what? I want us to look a bit into our inheritance. So that we will see and have confidence in what God will do through your life. It is not about being a man of God. He said, everyone that is saved, believe is saved. And then he said, this sign shall follow those who believe. So do you believe you are saved? These signs will follow you. I want us to look at, I call it the principle of inheritance. Because when it comes to winning soul, it's about using our inheritance. It is not about what we earn or what we have received or anything. By effort is just what God has given to us. But the reward is that what I give to you, what have you used it to do? Amen. That is the question. We all have the same gift. We all use it differently. But what have you used it to do? How many souls have been brought? How many believers has been edified? How many people, life of people, how many disciples have you made? Amen. All over the world today, I can point people to the glory of God and by his grace, people who were babes and we have nursed to be matured in the Lord before I even become a pastor. Just as a means, even as a brother. I was a house group leader and already I can point to people raised who were raised in the Lord. Amen. So what I'm doing now, already I was doing it long ago, But it came as a price. It caused discomfort. It caused a lot of things. But at the end of it, it will bring fruit to the kingdom of God. That is why we need to know how much God loves us. Because the more we know about the Lord, the more we'll be able to release ourselves. Can we read the scripture in Numbers 27? Numbers 27. We're going to look at the principle of inheritance. The Holy Spirit made known to me that when we know our inheritance, it brings boldness, confidence in God, confidence in what we have received. The principle of inheritance. Numbers 27. Are we there? Then came the daughters of Zelophehad. Sorry, I didn't pronounce it well. The sons of Zephar, the sons of Gilead, the sons of Micah, the son of Manasseh from the family of Manasseh of the sons of Joseph. These were the names of the daughters: Mehad, Noah, Hagia, Mekai, and Tazah. And they stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, before the elders and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord, in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughters. If he has no daughters, you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. Let me stop there. When God first gave the law of inheritance to Moses, there was nothing about the inheritance passing down to daughters. God only spoke about, if a man dies, let him give his inheritance to his son, and if he doesn't have a child, let it go to his brothers and relatives. Listen. But an issue arises, and I ask the Holy Spirit, did God not know, because God is all-knowing, that it is possible that somebody down the line will have a daughter, and one day it might be a controversy? I believe God knows. And what I believe the Holy Spirit was inspiring my heart is that God knows, but he will use that event to teach people how powerful and how important he honors the principle of inheritance among men. Please listen, among men. And this man, Zelophehad, only had daughters, had no son. When he died, because the Lord did not give room to daughters, and the man didn't have sons, they passed everything to that man's brothers. And the daughters went to his brothers and cried, said, Lord, Moses, is this fair? Our father have died, but we are all women, we are all daughters. And we have received nothing. And it has gone to his brothers, to his own brothers. And Moses thought that is true. And Moses went to the law. Why? It is not in the law. That's why people who are too law conscious, too rigid and regulatory conscious, sometimes they miss God. Moses was installed in the law, but these people are human beings. If you leave this daughter like this, they are going to live without identity because they are going to be married to another person. Their father's name is going to go away. Not only that, you're going to leave them with absolutely nothing and expose them, and they become vulnerable in life. And Moses knows that God is love, and God, this is not in line with the nature of God. He had to go back to him. So, Lord, this is a case here. What should I do? You know what God did? Because of those daughters and because of the principle of inheritance, God had to at that time, introduced a law. And God told Moses, now tell the children of Israel, and now include this in the law, that if a man has daughters, let it pass to the daughters instead of the brothers. Praise the Lord. What am I trying to say there? What I'm trying to say there is that the principle of inheritance, God honors it so strong among men to the point that even when a man didn't have a daughter, which was not in the law, God honored it by reintroducing and putting a law because of them. And this is called an inheritance among men. It has nothing to do with man to man, a man to his child. If that is so strong among men, and God had to honor it among men to that point, even to the point of him bringing another law in that he has not put before, how sure would the inheritance of God himself to man be? Praise the Lord. How sure would, if somehow God has an inheritance that is downloading to men, I can assure you, the surety of it is a lot more sure than what it did for men. And I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 9. I'll read verse 16 and 17. Hallelujah. We prayed in line with this during this last week that ended. And we will still pray in line with it today. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. A divine principle. He said, by the way, a testament means like a will that is passed down from a father to a child. You know, before a man dies, he writes his will and say, after my death, let this be go to this child that, you know, a will. That will is another word. Testament is another word for will. A will has a lot more gravity and impact than a covenant. A covenant is an agreement between two men with conditions. Notice, a covenant can be agreed between friends. Two friends can have covenants. Contracts, in other words, amen. You can have covenant with relative, but you can't have a will with somebody who is not related to you. Number two, conditions. There are conditions to the fulfillment of covenant. But for will, there is no condition. Only one condition you need to fulfill in a will is to be born into the family. Praise God. For a will is that you are born into a family. Amen. It makes you something that is called somebody who has a right to inherit, and which is called an heir. H-E-I-R, an heir, right to an inheritance. The only condition is that you are a child of somebody. Amen. Then number three, how much inheritance or how much testament you enjoy depends on how rich the one who died is. Praise God. If somebody dies with 10p, that's all you can inherit. Amen. If somebody dies with 10 million, that's all you can inherit. If somebody dies with 100 million, that's all you can inherit. But inheritance and the gravity and of it depends on the person who died and what that person had when he died. Amen. But if you look at that principle, the Bible says that though there might be a testament, but the testament, the will, is not in force until the death of the testator. Hallelujah. Some people are killing their spouse today and fathers just because of inheritance. Say, this suffering is too much and this man is too selfish. Let's get rid of him. Kill him. Amen. That's how bad this world is. You think it doesn't happen? It happens. But Bible says that after men are dead, then it is in force. Now, the number two question is that when God was speaking in the book of Hebrews here, God was talking about a testament, a will that has been downloaded to saints who are in Christ Jesus. And the question is, who is the testator? Who was the one that stood as our testator? I can tell you without doubt, our testator is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, one of the benefits of Christ is that people know the dead, that through the death of Jesus, our sins were forgiven. We too were dead. All things were dead through him when we died. But I'm here to surrender to you that God just was opening my eyes to see that even part of the things that happened at the death of Jesus was that there was an activation of the will of an inheritance, the testament, the will of God that was released through him and has been enforced. Amen. Now, this is talking about from God to men now. Amen. How was it connected? Jesus came. Bible says, inasmuch as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shed in the same. In other words, as long as we are flesh and blood, Jesus had to take on our flesh like us to identify with us and be like us. Amen. So that whatever he did, he can bring us into it. Praise God. And when Christ died, that means there are some things that he had that actually was downloaded as a will to us. Another thing about a will is that once a man dies, the will is enforced, but the person who actually enforces it is a solicitor or a lawyer. Are we hearing? A lawyer comes to the family and opens the testament and begins to read it out to the family. Amen. And when Jesus Christ died, Jesus said, it is not good that I should not go. For if I go, the helper will come to you and show you things to come. And when the Holy Ghost came, Bible said, the Holy Spirit has come. We have received the Spirit who will show us the things that we are freely. Turn to 2 Corinthians very quickly. Chapter 2. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Father, we give glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know what? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Did I say chapter 2? Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Apologies. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll read from verse 6 because I want us to have the whole gist. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world was for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, listen, eyes has not seen, ears, nor ears heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man, what? The things which God has prepared for those who, what? Love him. Now, eyes have not seen, nobody has seen it. But how do we see it? Verse 11, verse 10 gives us a clue. But God has revealed it to them. But God has revealed them to us through what? Through his Spirit. What did Jesus say? When the Spirit of truth come, he will take of me, declare to you, show you the truth, lead you into all truth. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Why? For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Then he begins to say how we receive it. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, everybody say now.
Now.
Say presently.
Presently.
Say me now.
Me now.
Presently.
Presently.
We have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Spirit comes that we might know these things that have been freely. Why does the lawyer come to the family? He comes to make the family know the things that have been freely given to them by their father. And Jesus said when we get born again, before he went to his father, he said, go and tell my disciples, I go to my God and their God, to my father and their what? Their father. And the Holy Spirit comes for us to know the things that have been freely given to us by the activation of the testament through the death of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To assure us. And so, what are the things that have been freely given to us? He said, eyes cannot understand, have not seen it, ears have not understand. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Like I said, what you inherit depends on what the father has. The question is, what does our father have? What belonged to our father? Amen. Do you know 2 days before Jesus died, in John chapter 13, he said something. He said, I come from my father and I go back to my father. He said, all that my father has, he has given to me. And after he said that, he began to wash the feet of his disciples. And after that, he was taken to the cross. In other words, all that he has is all that belongs to God. And what belongs to God? The entire universe. Not even the entire universe. This age and the age to come and the eternity to come, everything belongs to God. Amen. And Jesus said, all these things have been given to me. And so when he went to the cross, he went and in his death, he activated and downloaded and made available all that belongs to God to the believer. But because our mind is small, that is why Paul said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of God. God has prepared for those who what? Love him. And don't forget the love of God. We love God first, and then he loves us first, and then we love him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For what God has given, that means everything that belongs to God, he has given to us. Pastor, confirm with the scripture. Let me do that very quickly. Are we in that 1 Corinthians? Look at the next chapter, chapter 3. I'll just read verse 21 and 22 to give us a clue of what the apostle is saying. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for what? All things are yours. What are the things? Whether Paul or Cephas, whether Paul or Apostle or Apollos or Cephas or Dakbo, or the world or life or death. Can you see why you can speak and people raised from the dead, or things present, which we now have, or things to come, which is yet to come in the age to come. All things are what? Yours by inheritance. You belong to who? Christ. And Christ belong to who? God. Praise the Lord. Oh, so sweet. God bless you. It's wonderful. All things belongs to us, but yet all things means everything in this age belongs to us, and that includes human beings, it includes every establishment, it includes. I begin to understand when they said to Jesus, why do you not pay tax? He said, me pay tax? He said, the kings of the earth, Do their sons have, are their sons free or strangers free? They said the sons of the kings are not, they are free, but it is the strangers that come to pay tax. Prince Charles doesn't pay tax because his mother is the king and the queen in the land. Hallelujah. The royal family don't pay tax, but the ordinary citizen who don't belong to the family, who don't belong to royalhood, they pay tax. They pay. Are you getting me? Now, this is the King of Kings. God is the God of the whole universe. Jesus is King over all the earth. We are born of God and princes and kings with God. And Jesus was saying, look, as a son of the king, everything in heaven and earth belongs to the Father. He said, why should I? He said, I am free as a son unto my Father who is the king. He said, but for one reason, in order for me not to offend them, let me pay them and go to the fish. Why? Because the fish belongs to him, the silver belongs to him, the gold belongs to him. Money, you go to the mouth of the fish, the fish you bring it forth, go to and get the money and pay for me and you, Peter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Things present, things to come, that includes human beings. That is why Bible says to Jesus in John 17, he said, and Jesus said, God has given him authority over all flesh. He said, knowing that God has given him authority over all flesh. In other words, Christ said, part of my authority is over all flesh. But after he died and rose, he will not exercise that authority because he will leave it for the body to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we are still scratching for the surface of things, whereas all things belong to us. Let me tell you part of the things that belong to God, souls of men. You know what he said? Ezekiel 18, he said, all souls are mine. Do you know that? All souls. God said, all souls are mine. In fact, there's a place God says, I am the God of all flesh. And then he told Jesus, he said, because you are the son, he said, because I am the son of man, my father has given me authority over all flesh. And he said, that authority I give unto you. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Praise the Lord. But how was it downloaded? By the will, by the principle of inheritance. Let me tell you, let nobody deceive you. If God in the old, that's why I started from Numbers 27. If God will honor the inheritance among men to the point that when there was no law to take cater for a part of it from him, he had to squeeze in another law to take care of it. How much more his own inheritance that comes from him unto his people that he has bought with his own life and with his own blood. Hallelujah. God was the one that paid the price. You didn't pay it. God was the one that suffered for you. Didn't suffer. He suffered for it in his death so that he can give you the inheritance. How would he suffer knowing that in his death all things will be yours and he's withholding them again with all that he suffered? I will call it that is the most stupid business venture anyone can ever get into. He did it. He gave us an example in Numbers that I respect inheritance principle among men, and he respects it because he won't joke with it when it comes to him, to his own people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if that is true, then why is the church weak? Why can we not affect our neighbor? Why can we not affect our workplace? Why are we like mere men? Why do we toil like mere men? Because it's like a child having great inheritance, but leaves all that he has and decides to still go and be living with pigs. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you this. Remember I told you it's a will. Therefore, if you are born of God, you are partakers of this inheritance. Let me show you again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. I'll probably conclude with this. Ephesians 1, 11. Are we there? Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1:11, it is a certain thing. Jesus help us. Lord Jesus help us. May we not return with our inheritance the same way we receive it. May we not return the same way. May our life not be like mere men. May everything that is ordinary in our life change from ordinary to supernatural. I'm praying that for you. I'm praying it for me myself. I'm telling you. Are you hearing me? I say, I declare that everything ordinary about you today, may it change to supernatural.
Amen.
May you cease to operate on the ordinary level.
Amen.
Look, the eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. No man can understand what God has given to us. Even you can't understand it. Let me tell you, nothing in us will tell you how you are qualified for it. Peter said, why do you look at us as if it was by our own godliness and by our own power or godliness that we have made this man well? He said, it is the name of Jesus Christ through his name that has made this man well. Do you know the name of Jesus was given to us as an inheritance? I will show you that. Very quickly, let me tell you. Ephesians 1 verse 11. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Praise the Lord. Can you see? In him, did he say we shall have? In him we have. We already have received an inheritance. How do you? Pastor, inheritance can only happen when somebody is dead. Lord, can God die? God can't die. But 2,000 years, he became flesh and he subjected himself to what he didn't deserve because of you. And he died, and through his death, God zoop you into what you don't deserve. And it's called the riches of his grace. May God open our eyes to know the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ. Paul said, receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know what is the exceeding riches of his grace in his saints. Hallelujah. In other words, part of what we need to know the riches of our inheritance, or else we will not tap into it. We'll walk like mere men, God forbid, die like mere men, bury like mere men, and do things like mere men. May that not be our portion.
Yes.
May we not be kings who are supposed to be walking on horses, and servants are walking on horses, and kings are treading on the ground. May that not be our portion. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you. You are a life-changing vessel. Then you are a life-changing vessel. There are things in you that is a nation changer. I am not here to tell you about steps to do things or to do that. God has not given me that. That is not my place. That's not the call of God upon my life. But I have something that God has given me. He has shown me the Lord Jesus Christ. I have seen him. I have known him. And I've seen the riches we have in him. And my prayer is that the church, not only this church, but each and every one of us will begin to move by faith into this inheritance we have. Are we in Hebrews chapter 1? Hebrews chapter 1. Hallelujah. Some people are used to law. I have no law for us, but I have grace. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his son. That is, I have every covenant. I'm speaking to you by this son today. I'm not speaking by any prophet, by anything. I am speaking today by the Son of God. Because I know I'm speaking by the inspired word of his spirit, that the spirit is hearing, his instruction on heaven, and God has downloaded the voice of the Son of God into my heart. And I'm telling you, God is expecting you to do great exploit. Has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he abhorred their sins, and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Now look at verse 4. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has, by what? Inheritance, obtained a more excellent what? Name than they. He has obtained a more excellent name. He obtained it. Why? Because it was given to him when he died. Bible says when he died, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and God has given him the name. That above every other, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Why should they bow? Because his inheritance is, the inheritance in the name covers everything. And he said, he now took that name and gave us that name. And our being born again is that you were baptized into that name. You were made a partaker of that name. Being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ does not mean that we confess Jesus as Lord. When you confess Jesus as Lord, God took you and immersed you into Christ. You were immersed into Christ Jesus. His name became your identity. Amen. Wherever you go, you are carrying the name about. That's why I say, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? All the inheritance, it is by inheritance, it is by a testament, it is by a will of God. If God is true, and if he cannot lie, he will never say inheritance. Because man is a liar. No man is a truth. But as lies are, as a liar as men are, they still honor the law of inheritance. Nobody lies when it comes to that. And if men can be that evil and know how to pass an inheritance to their children, how much more our Father who loves us. Praise the Lord. It's in the name of Christ Jesus. This is why I believe that we can change cities, we can change nations. Human beings are part of our inheritance. Why did you say that? Psalm 2, ask of me and I shall give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world. Why do? Can you not see all the connection? Hallelujah. You know why? You know what the result of that? Now, my sense of evangelism is changed. I see people say before I talk to them. Because I now see what I have. It's different from when I didn't know what I have before. When I didn't know what I had before, I debate. Hey, evolution, Darwin's theory. No. I don't need that. Hallelujah. I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm coming as a servant sent from heaven, loaded with that which has been downloaded to me by will. So it is not maybe I'm good, I'm not good, I'm born of God, I'm a member of the family, and I'm partaker of the will of God. It is operational by the fact that I am, it is a will. Remember, will is different from covenant. Covenant is that contract, condition. No condition. The thing is, are you born? Are you born of God? Yes. Are you in the family? Yes. Even my father who has not died, he already has his will. Hallelujah. Sometimes he phones me when I go, this land, I have this. They're already talking about what they have already. Yes. That's how powerful it is. Yes. And God honors it. If a man writes an inheritance in the natural, even unbeliever, and they fail to follow it, do you know problem will be in that family? Do you know that? And it's a curse. If a man was writing, that's why nobody ever alters it. And he dies, and somebody alters it. He said, give my first son this, and you go and do contrary. It's a curse on his own. That man might not be there. The priest is out, it will work against them. Amen. It's different. A child can receive an inheritance and say, oh, my dad didn't give my brother enough. And the one who receives it can say, as my brother, I'm giving you part of this to enjoy. You get me? That is right. But nobody ever changes the will of a dead man. Even spiritually, you suffer for it. Talk less. I'm talking about God himself to us. God himself to us. What is wrong with the church? Who has bewitched us? Who has brought to us things that we feel we have to attain some things before we can be influential and we can change things? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you know something? It gives a sense of responsibility in my heart. And the first responsibility is that, how am I going to use what I have in this present world? There are inheritance for the age to come, but Jesus has not come yet. But how is it working now? It must work now to save soul. It must work now to increase the kingdom. It must work now to glorify the name of Jesus. You know why? Because the Bible says that we live no longer for ourselves, but we live for him who died and rose for us. So everything we do should be to his glory. Hallelujah. And when you do that, you will enjoy part of the benefit as a channel. Praise the Lord. Can we stand to our feet? I want you to stand to your feet. What has God told you? And what are you going to do?